Hot Lake and what you remember about Hot Lake.
Well, I knew they'd been rebuilding it, but my mother had a cancer surgery there when I was 14, and Dr. Five, the original doctor.
His name was Five?
Five, P-H-Y.
P-H-Y,
and they lived in Union, and he had four children, and all of their names began with M-A-R. There was Mark and Marion and... You were my age, you know, you were really good friend. Oh, well, doesn't matter. But at the time I had the surgery, I think people who did cancer surgery would have been horrified because he just started right and just went right at that.
So he just cut a big...
Clear down through the arm and took every bit of muscle and it'd be out of it. Never, ever had to go back for any kind of a treatment. I was terrific cancer and got what was being a seizure. You know, I'd use her hand. Mm-hmm. She was able to use her hand.
So he just cut a big chunk out of your body?
It's just like he just stripped everything. All the way. And never any come back. No, they did radiation a little bit, then, but not for her. He kept her a week after the surgery. And then we took her home, and then a couple of times she had to go out. It was 9 miles. But that was all. And she was just perfectly all right. Lived. Oh, she was in her 40s and she lived till she was dead. Never any problem.
What did the waiting room look like at that Hot Lake at that time when your mother had the surgery?
Well, it was a rather lovely place. They had one room that had a beautiful fireplace in it. And you could sit around that and just enjoy that. Or you could sit out in the sunroom and watch the wind blow the freight cars off of the track. And it would blow them right off the track. It isn't quite that bad now, or either it's a different kind of...
What else was in the waiting room besides the fireplace? Were there tables?
Well, and then there were dining rooms that were very nice. And there were private rooms for their patients, and many of them were on the third or the second floor. Mm-hmm. But the last time I was up there, Dr. and Mrs. Good were up there playing bridge with the man and his wife, who were the doctor in charge at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was when the pool had opened. And my youngest granddaughter had just learned to swim. So Terry had to bring her out there that night. She wasn't going to go for an answer. And that was the only pool that was open. And you know, I didn't ever remember what a beautiful pool that was. They're hoping that they'll open it again. Talk about it. But anyway, he said, well, it's all right if she goes in. It's not that we don't have a watchman. I said, well, that's all right. There were three of us up here, all three, and we can just watch her. Mm-hmm. So she got in, and oh, she was so cute and just did a good job.
Do you remember your mother's hospital room, what your mother's hospital room looked like when she had that surgery?
I don't remember that.
Did she have a private room?
In fact, I'm not sure I was ever in it. You see, that wasn't as mobile as it is now. You don't just get up like we didn't have a car. Yeah. And it was depending on, well, something else. There was one person in the family had an old Model T4, but it wasn't much of a car. Mm-hmm. It's the one I learned to drive now.
You learned to drive a Model B? Wow.
But anyway, but I know she had a room of her own and was up there, and they treated her for a week, and then she came home and was just fine. Within another week, she was back with her work. Just didn't ever stop.
Was there a hospital in town during those days?
Yes, the Grand Ground Hospital was there. I sort of think that that was being built about the time that the pavement was going farther up that way, and Jack Evans can tell you. But it seems to me like the first time I rode a bicycle came to the end of the pavement and then rode up that hill to the bicycle, to the hospital there, and then coasted down. I remember that. Because boys all had bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Now, after you married your husband, did you move into Le Grand at that time?
We rented an apartment here when we were married, right while we were on our honeymoon, that was ready for us to move right into things. Then we came back.
Where was that apartment? Do you remember?
9th Street that goes up the steps to the college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
where it was.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an upstairs apartment, very nice. And when she found out that we were moving into it, she had it all repainted, papers, and everything was just like a brand new place. And we had a lot of nice things to move into it. But what was funny about it was my mother only lived between 6th and 7th on end, but she was very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she moved all of our, that is, bought all of our groceries and everything she could think of that we'd be needing was in there, and she bought them and put them away like this. Oh, it was just really just nice.
Did you do canning when you were a wife? Did you can vegetables and fruits and things like that every year?
Did you have a garden and then can or dry foods?
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all had a little garden, but you know, there were things here at that time. For instance, asparagus. There was a cannery around, you know, where the Red Cross drugstore is. A block to the right over the railroad track.
Mm-hmm.
And it was facing the railroad track. It was a cannery. And they brought the fresh asparagus in there. You cut it the length that you wanted, and then just put it in the cans, and put something in it. I've got to know what it was, but they canned it for 10 cents a can, and I'd take dozens of them home, and I could go over to Oregon and cut all of if I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So they did green beans and asparagus and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had canned, and you could can fruit that way. Mm-hmm. Mostly I think I did it at home. And this sister of mine, we used to go do all our canning together.
Was the canning that you did then, was that any different than the way the canning is now?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it changed. I don't know what's up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any idea?
Yeah. Do you remember any other businesses that you went to downtown that you liked? Did you go to many other businesses on Adams Street? Do you remember going to a dress stores or...
What stores I shopped
at? Yeah, what stores did you... What stores did you shop at as a young woman? Well, I think Fox. Tell me about
Fox. One of the largest ones, and then Connie's. Mm-hmm. And as far as dresses and things like that were concerned, I got so I would shop more than... Well, at that time I could afford most anything I wanted, but I didn't want it too much. I'd rather make it. And, but N.K. West, and that was there for a long time. It finally broke up. And then the boys all went to the Top Shop. To the Top Shop. Now,
Trotters.
For suits and things like that. Well, they had some very nice things for ladies, too. And, well, let's see, I never shoes. It was a shoe store on the corner. Yeah.
I can't remember the name. Mm-hmm.
They finally moved to Pendleton. But it was a good shoe store. I could really always get a good fit there. And, but I think I bought mostly of my dresses and things like that at the Top Shop. And they had lovely things. I have two suitcases downstairs in the storage. With long skirts and blouses go with them. They are absolutely beautiful. And where do I put it? And my son and his wife send me just gorgeous things. And that one I tried to get Melinda to look at the other day, that velvet one that they sent me. You saw that. And I said, well, there are so many of them I could change twice every day. I still have so much left over.
May I ask you about World War II and how that affected LeGrand, the Second World War, War II?
You remember World War II. Mm-hmm. How did that change LeGrand? The Second World War.
Oh, dear.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, of course, every war was different as far as I was concerned, because my two oldest brothers were in the Spanish-American War and were in the Philippines and all through that. And then they were in the First World War. And the younger of the two boys, five when he went in, of course, the Spanish-American War. But he never gave up. He stayed right in the service all his life until he was way up in his 70s. But the only thing that he regretted then when it was time to retire, the life stuck to it. He got to retire here.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, he did well, but the other brother, they were both in both World War, and the older brother was the younger of the two. Every year that he was in the service, from the time he was 17, he went to a different school or more.
Training
at a different school, but teaching something different. Until he graduated with full honors and everything, and during the last big conference there, he had charge of all the lighting at the White House, and that sort of thing. He had done awfully well, but Erwin, the older brother, had never done anything. He was just yeah, his brother, and he was just something. But the other brother, I never did see. He left when before I was old enough to recognize him. And I never saw him until he had about a 12-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him once then. But then my oldest brother, I was thinking what a difference it made, because it seemed like it was closer to home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when World War II came to, you were living in the Grand in the 40s?
Yes. In the Second World War, you lived in Le Grand.
During the Second World War?
During the Second World War, you lived in Le Grand.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you remember about that time?
Well, that's when we lived in the big house. And I think that we had a lot of I wish I could remember.
Okay, we're going to start where after you finished being a teacher at Palmer Junction. What did you decide to do after that?
Well, I went back home, and at that time there were two schools in Paris, about 4 miles from the Grand, and one of the schools had a man teacher and a woman teacher, and he was the principal, and I had the lower grade in the separate building, and I had first floor grade. So I finished that year with them, and then took a second year, and the second year the man was gone, but I was the principal.
You were the principal at Perry?
Of the two schools, yeah.
Can you describe the school in Perry at that time?
Very nicely. There were two framework buildings, and they were side by side, kind of on the hillside, and they both had outdoor toilets, so that's going over to them. And we had drinking water, and the insides of both of the buildings were much like the later days. They had good desks and good seats. Many times there were two sharing the desk and sharing the seats. But much of the time they had their own desks and things when they had the school divided that way. And so far as I know, they never went back together. But after I taught up there 2 years, and I helped it out.
Oh.
And I just couldn't go ahead any longer. I wanted to, because I just loved it. I loved the town, and just to move on, this town is really great. Mm-hmm.
How many students did you have in the Perry School?
Well, I think I had room, I probably had 25 in the 4 grades.
And those were the early grades, first through fourth?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And it was a well-run school. They had a good thing. Well, places to refer to, I can't think what they call them. Usually at a school board or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very good. It was a modern school. Modern.
Mm-hmm.
And I had later, our registers and everything were kept up to date for the attendees and the the illness and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wonder, if you're around this something that was rather funny. We had a health nurse who came around to check on our children all the time. And there was a family who was very, very pitiful poor. They had nothing. But they ruled the roost. They took nothing from anyone else. So when the health nurse came up and informed them, they all had to be vaccinated with smallpox. She knew that.
She didn't want them to be vaccinated for smallpox?
Oh, she wasn't going to have that stuff scraped into her arms with her children there. It was just terrific. So the health nurse was very calm and not upset about it. She said, well, that's the way it is. Of course, you understand that your total support comes from the school board. All your money and your supplies and everything. So she said, if you won't take your smallpox vaccination, we won't bother with you getting any anyway. It works both ways. And she just walked out. She did not argue with him or anything. Goodness, she couldn't have followed the trail that he made to the head office to protest and get that on his phone. But that was just one of the funny things that happened. But anyway, it was an up-to-date school. We had a very nice playground outside. And swings and slides and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And the schools were well run. So I couldn't describe them specially. I know that they were pieces with wood, but that was delivered and cut up in right size. Mm-hmm. And then usually the older boys would help with it. Well, of course, I didn't have any older boys. And one of the funniest things were I wasn't very big, and everyone thought I was much too young to be teaching school. I was 24 or something like that. But there was a little smarty boy in the 8th grade that thought I was just really cute. That was his way of expressing it. So he would just do everything he could to annoy me. So he came in one day after school, and I was just before Thanksgiving, I was putting stencils on the blackboard of a turkey, all in color shots, and kids like that, of course. And he got up behind me, and he would run his hand up to the chakra powder, cells on color, and rubbed his hands on my bare skin. And got the chalk all over me. And finally, we had registers about four, maybe that long, so I had wooden bags on them. And finally, I couldn't take it anymore, and I just turned around, took one hand, running around his neck, and threw him over my lap. I took one of those erasers, and I just really paddled him.
You gave him a paddling, huh?
Oh, yes, and you couldn't do it now.
Uh-huh.
Because not too long after that, it was prohibited. But I really paddled him. And he got up, but he wasn't crying. He was a cute old boy. But he looked me in the eye, and he said, gosh, Mr. Snuggie, he had the nerve. And he was the best friend I had the rest of that year.
Oh, that's all they needed, huh?
He would just, he'd come in and clean my blackboards and just do everything. Mm-hmm. But there were many, many little incidents that were fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I enjoyed it very much. And later years, I was invited to one of the college reunions, not sure what it was, where some of those children were graduating.
Oh.
And I was specially invited to them, and that meant a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that also happened in one of the teaching in Adams, and I've had it a much bigger school.
Mm-hmm.
But that was school that was, oh, I don't care. I had one person get me through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big building, of course. But this was when in the country, of course,
mm-hmm.
we had a room with the farmers family out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting because they had a little girl who was born without a joint in her hip. And so, as even almost like a baby, she was in a cast from the hip down to her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And just the happiest, lovely little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents were not very poor. But, oh, that she was a good cook, and we just roomed and we ate there.
Mm-hmm. At the Perry School, were there a lot of people living in Perry during this time?
No. This in Perry, oh dear, I am kind of switched off there.
That's okay.
They brought me in here. Yes, there were quite a number of people living in Perry because that was in the days of the sawmill.
Oh, is that why the town was set up? Was because of the sawmill?
And there were three pairs. There were the upper pairs and lower pairs. And in between were the beautiful homes. Oh, they were lovely homes. Where the officials of the mills were living.
Oh.
Very beautiful up there. And they're no longer there. I think through the years that some of them were still inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a long time since I've seen anything up there, because it's all redone, because the mill part of it has taken just a tremendous change.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the mill? Up in Perry. Do you remember about it?
Yes, it was there in Perry. And later it was moved to the bay. But it was a big mill. It was a sawmill, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the railroad. So there was ways to get the timber out.
Mm-hmm.
And plenty of water because it was right on the Grand Grand River.
Mm-hmm.
And the water was always a problem every place.
Mm-hmm.
But they, there was plenty of water there, and I think to run the machine to live there.
Yeah. Did you live in Perry at the time you were teaching there?
Yes, I did. We had our house in town was rented to Dr. Millstead, who had been involved in getting us the loan point that we adopted.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he lived in our house for 7 years, so we were out in different places. So, when we opened the teaching care, there were ever so many houses for sale that people had built, and were listed in Lower Perry, where most of the main houses were.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bought one of the houses in Jericho. And I remember how much we liked it. It didn't have a bathroom, but we had a statue isn't visiting with us part of the time. My husband and he together kind of took care of things. It was pretty modern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that lived there 2 years. But again, the doctors just like this, you know.
Mm-hmm. So was your husband working in Perry while you were teaching school?
Yes.
Did he work at the sawmill?
No. No, we had our own equipment.
Oh.
We had huge trucks. And there were 2 years when the weather was such that the mail couldn't be delivered from Portland to Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that they couldn't get through or something. And so we had a Lego deal
mm-hmm.
to haul the mail from Portland back to Perry.
Oh, So your husband went to Portland to get the mail and bring it back?
Oh, yeah. It was mostly at night and bring the mail back. My husband hadn't been working and it didn't matter because he had found other things to do. But my nephew was living with us and he had worked for the railroad and did a boo-boo on it and was just temporarily laid off. And so he was.
So your nephew and your husband brought the mail from Portland to Perry.
Uh-huh.
Did they bring mail to La Grande also, or just Perry?
No. They took it into La Grande.
Oh.
But Perry didn't have a post office.
Oh, okay.
But they took it into La Grande.
Uh-huh.
And got the post office there. And then it was distributed there into the branch town.
Oh, I see.
They didn't have anything to do with the distributing it. They took it back to the La Grande post office.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Huh. And then you got sick. What happened to you?
Well, I think when I was about 18, I just started having problems. And I think I spent more time in hospital than I did at home. Over and over again, I think my husband was about to leave me because there were hospitals in Portland and in La Grande. Just the first time I began to feel like I was getting out of it again, and I said again, go back for more surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It went on for a long time, and finally, I had driven up to a lumber camp where my husband had a contract all along with our trucks in. And I had just a hand jug up there from the rescue hospital in Portland. And there was nothing they could do. Just a mess. Every service.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to stick a thong to them. It had disrupted all my organs out of shape. So good. So at that time, they told me that I'd have to have a whole year. Couldn't take care of myself. Couldn't do any housework, anything at all. It was just simply
Mm-hmm.
So I traveled with my husband, and my sister kept my little boy, and finally, at the end of the year, he told me that had to last a year. And I said, well, if anybody says don't hunger is just really bang like that because I'm so sick of that. Everybody says don't do this to everybody. Well, at that time we were going to adopt a second child and my health was so poor that we didn't dare. And it had taken a lot of money too. So we just decided we better not do that. But from that time on, I was sitting up that just got along fine. I was terribly nervous.
Worried about you were going to get sick again? Or?
No. I was pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was the chairman of the PTA of the Ackerman School. My little boy was in school there. And as the program chairman, I was the vice president. And as the program chairman, it fell to the vice president to arrange the program. And that particular day, the program was not available. So the president said, well, to me, I knew her very well, and she said, well, you've been doing a lot of practicing on the piano, and I'll just bet that you are acquainted with some of the music. It was all classical, as you know, which you could probably play. I said, all right, I will. So I did two beautiful numbers, and I knew they were well appreciated. Mm-hmm. One, then the second was an encore, I was just fine. Mm-hmm. Then I spent a week in bed.
What was the function of the PTA at that time? This was in the 30s?
It met once a month, and this was in Ackerman. Of course, the school was there, and my son went the first two grades in the central school, which was over on 4th Street. And then he had a little problem in school, and so they recommended that we move over to Ackerman. Now, it wasn't a school that fussed with children who needed extra help. No, mm-hmm. It was just regular like that. But it just happened to hit a couple of teachers that were just that we wanted, so we could still be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, we met once a month, and as a rule, we met in the Ackerman building, which is a gymnasium now, isn't it? I hadn't been in it for years. But the children loved it. It was just grand. And he had a long way to go still, but he lots of times I made beans and had lunch and
what activities did the PTA do to help the children?
Well, I knew that they had some members who paid attention to children who needed a little extra help, maybe a little extra loving, and that sort of thing. And then I think that there were some children who had problems that were not being met quite at school, and they could come to school and work with the children. Mm-hmm. I knew I did that.
Do you do fundraising activities with the PTA? Did they do fundraising activities? Did Halloween carnivals or anything like parties or anything like that?
We had carnivals. But I can't remember that we ever had one just on the PTA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know we had a big PTA because there were a lot of people reliably attending.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did your son go to Ackerman School right after it was built? Was it a new school when he went to it?
No, he's been in school. Well, he's gone to two grades in central school.
Mm-hmm.
Before he moved over here.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, if I'm not mistaken, even Neil was principal of it.
Mm-hmm.
She was principal of it when it closed.
Mm-hmm.
She's still a very dear friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
We organized a teacher's group. There were 12 of us that retired from teaching and met once a month down at the Cocky Bowl for a luncheon. And so far as I know, they still do.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to be there, but I think so.
Mm-hmm. Did you teach after your son was in elementary school? Did you start to teach again?
No. It was quite a long time I didn't. But when he was in possibly the first year of college where I just visited home.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did some substitute teaching, but mostly I was home. And then just like that, my favorite sister died. No warning or anything. He and her husband were forever. And they were living out of people, which doesn't mean anything to you right now, but it was way out where there was no railroad, but there were telephones, sort of thing. And one day the dispatcher called me, and he said, "Are you Mrs. Kelly?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, the dispatcher just called and told me to tell you that Hartson's wife just died."
Mm.
That was my sister. That was the way I got the word out.
Mm.
And it threw me for a loop. All my life she'd been with me. I didn't care whether I had another friend or not.
Mm-hmm.
We were just 3 years apart, but she was older. And we had just stuck together like that all the time. And mm-hmm. our husbands were that close. They just got along fine. So, after my sister died, and Cortelli was in school, now I can't be real sure whether he was in the upper grades or whether he was in a freshman year of school, I'm not sure. But anyway, the doctor made me get away. So an older brother they had a brand new Cadillac car, and we had a nice car too, but they wanted to take care of and go on this long trip and take me clear away. So we went down to Arizona and California. Oh, we've been gone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I came back, I'd kind of gotten a hold of my family up a little bit. And there were a couple of vacancies in the school that were just begging for teachers. So the one who was in charge of the registration of the assistant principal's office called me and she said, "Well, now that you're back, do you want a school?" And I said, "Yes, I do." So I took the fourth grade at Greenwood and I taught the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be a teacher out
of it. Did you start at Greenwood in around the 30s or so? Was that in the 1930s that you began teaching at Greenwood School?
Oh, if I could remember, I could tell you, but I don't know.
It's not really important.
No.
So what did you teach as a fourth grade teacher? What were some of your duties?
Everything. Well, yes, you did have everything. The only thing that I didn't have was music. and they had a special music teacher that took the children once a week upstairs. And I could just, she was wonderful. She was just a magician. I think the children would go up the stairs, and I would hear her say, "All right, I want you to turn around and go back down the stairs, and I don't want it to sound. And then you turn around and come back up, and I don't want to hear a sound." She says, "I don't like this pum, 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 pum." So she took them back up, and I swear they didn't make a sound. She was there. Oh, she was good. She had music in the high school and everything, and oh, the piano she could play, and it's just thing is, oh, she was good. They really lost her when she, but she stopped long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, I taught everything. I had four little Negro girls, and one of them was just quite a nice little girl. Her mother dressed her well, and she always looked nice. But the other three girls had connections with a much older Negro girl. He had slept with practically every boy in the upper grades. Mm. Oh, she was wild. And I guess she had two children by her father.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And we were up against that with these children, so I had quite a struggle with them. And I did get them through. But you still have that background that you can't quite deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very good friend who was a second grade teacher. And she used to talk to me a lot about how to treat these girls and make them a part of the class, and they did pretty well.
Were there several black students, several African-American students in the school at that time?
I think there were these four in my room. And this older one, who was in the other grade, I think she was the sixth grader.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the grades are different now than they were.
Mm-hmm. Were they treated well by the other students? These girls, did the other students treat them well?
I think that they were. The only thing we had to watch at recess, and when school was out, anything, try to get them to go on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And not pan up with her other girl. She was watching for them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This older girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ever know what happened to her, but mm-hmm. I know that her father was very involved with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't help her.
Mm-hmm.
But she ran into those things. Now, I think that many of the colored girls and boys now are model students.
Mm-hmm.
They do very well and they're very bright.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's been many years since I've had anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Was this a new school that you were teaching at? Was Greenwood a new school? Had they just built it, or had it been there for a while?
Oh, Greenwood. Mm-hmm. It was an old school. Mm-hmm. There were three schools, Greenwood, Riviera, and Central, and four, because I don't remember the other one.
Mm-hmm.
No, these were all good schools,
mm-hmm.
and Riviera had a better reputation, because Greenwood didn't.
Why is that?
It was the part of town they was in, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They get more hardy, old people who didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I think that we stopped many times, that it was, you know, a lack of culture and there for it. And so you just, you had to take it as it came. And I had quite a number of Jehovah Witness students in it. But I learned, I learned what Jehovah's Witnesses were, and got a great deal out of them. And I had one little boy, I didn't know at the time what the trouble was, but he would throw a tantrum in fourth grade, which he never, ever would have seen a normal child do. The way he screamed and all and everything. But I found out afterwards I had some property here, and his grandfather was the real estate man who handled that property, and I found that they were just excellent people. And then this little boy's father ended by the head of the whole but it was just a while where he would go. I had to dismiss him several times. And just couldn't do anything with him. But he turned out to be a my best friend. And his father and mother and a beautiful home lived away above me.
Describe a typical day if you were teaching fourth grade at Greenwood. Describe your typical day. What would you do? What would you do once you got there in the morning?
Well, much of the time the students were not there. So I would probably work on lesson plans and make sure that they were perfected for the morning. And if any discrepancies came up, I probably had the children to talk to me. And there's always a little extra time. And the hours have changed now. And that's cried up on them. But I don't think they do the same thing this morning. I just wish I knew, but I've no way of finding out.
So did you start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance and that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was always like that. And the children knew it very well. Well, they knew the pledge. I think that they were very proud to tell about it. No, they were, I had an awful lot of nice children, except there were those few that disrupted a little bit, but then I don't know, I suppose I could lay it to my personality with children, because I really like them.
What did you do when you had to discipline children? Did you make them stay after school, or did you sit them in a corner? What did you do for discipline?
We had a principal at Greenwood. His name was Lawrence Blanchard. He died just recently, and he was blind, but he played the banjo. Oh, could he play? But anyway, if I had real trouble with the children, I would call Mom, and he would take them. And I was never, ever forced to did, you know, this big strict well, I can't think of any. A little earlier, I did but that was on the parish school.
Mm-hmm. What did you do at that school with your discipline?
Parish.
Yeah.
There was a little boy. His father and mother were separated. He lived for his father, but his father was never there. So he lived with his grandmother. And he was mean and mean as he could be. This part of it. And he would get out from school a little earlier than some of the other students. Maybe second grade, maybe even first grade or something. And he'd get out and throw rocks at them, some of them I was still. And I did everything I could think of. It didn't stop me. And I was afraid somebody was really going to get hurt. So I knew his grandmother. And I wrote a note one day, and I said, told her what he'd been doing, and I said, "Now, I know you're responsible for him, but when he comes back to school at noon, I'm going to call him up at the front of the room, turn him over my knee, and just pat him for socks on him. And I wanted you to know about it." So when school came, he took the note down to her. He tried to read it, and he couldn't quite. But he took the note to her, and he came in after noon. She saw my grandmother, after noon or something, I don't know what it was. And so when I asked her what she thought about it, and she said, "Just don't let me interrupt your plans."
Oh!
So I had him come up, and I turned him over my knee and gave him a pat on the back. I don't think he ever would forget it. And the hurting, I mean, it was just the thought of being patted in front of the room. And his grandmother thanked me for it, and she was so thankful that I had done it. She says, "I wanted to do that for a long time, but I couldn't do it." I never had any more trouble with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Did some teachers paddle kids at Greenwood in their classrooms?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was too late for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I had any. I could discipline them, but if there was any show of really punishing them, I think I had to send it to law and needed to do it. But there were lots of good kids. There was one little boy in the fourth grade, a very good student, a nice little boy. But his parents were, and they had dentists.
Mm-hmm.
So,
seventh day at dentist.
And we were doing, making a lot of things for Halloween. We were making that, pumpkins and, just all sorts of things. And he got riding into it and was just playing with them all the time. But he told me, just on the quiet, he said, "He was telling me, no, I can't count." I said, "Yes, I know that. But you can have all the fun working on these things, and you can't come to the party."
Mm-hmm.
So the day of the party came, he was there. And he came, I said, "You're here, what happened?" My mother and dad went out of town. I'm staying with my grandmother. She said I could come.
Oh.
He had so many cute stories.
Yeah.
But he was just the life of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Just good time.
Mm-hmm. So did you have Halloween and Christmas and Thanksgiving parties?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We just had all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I invented things, and of course, I had my music coming up with the big crowd.
Did you have a piano in your classroom?
No, but there was a piano there in the music room upstairs. No, I didn't have a piano. But I could teach them all sorts of songs. When I was in kindergarten, you see, I told you I started the kindergarten when my sister did.
Mm-hmm.
But we sang so many songs, little songs, that stayed with me through all those years. And, for instance, "Little Yellow Dandelion Growing in the Grass," "With Your Heart, With Your Head, The Grass Gold, Merry Little Laugh, When Your Hair Turns White, Pray What You Do, When You Raise 100 More Just Like You."
Oh.
And then there was another one, "Sweet Pea, Sweet Pea." And to get out there, "Sweet Bonnet." And then, but not too long ago, we had a Methodist minister who was a primary teacher. Mm-hmm. And she asked LeGrand, he got a school someplace else. She had written down all those things.
Oh.
And of course, I could sing them for her, but I can't now. I had a giant Duncan case of the throat. Anyway, it affected my throat.
Oh.
And I couldn't sing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had to quit.
But you can hear them in your head. You can hear the song.
And
what was your husband doing during the time that you were teaching at Greenwood? What was his job?
Well, we had bought a big company there. This man was an only son of a man who had owned all the stuff, and the man was no good.
Mm.
And he finally gave into his drinking, and his son found him dead one day.
Mm.
And just about that time, the son was called into the service. And so that was just right. We owned a lot of the land right along there that they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
So it just looked like a chance for us. So we bought all this stuff. And he had made concrete pipe.
Do you remember the name of that company? The company that you bought?
Well, yeah, it was Concrete Pipe.
Country Pipe?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then ours was the Kelly's Fencing. And we had the big trucks that all the ready-mix cement. And the big old... And they're there.